Hi, I am Vitan, and this is From Zero to Success, your podcast for business and personal development. Hello from me, Vitan. Let's do something different today. I love my guest to introduce me today. Are you there, Hari?
I am. Thank you so much, Vitan. It's been a pleasure being in this call with you. So me and Vitan have known each other for a couple of years, but what's interesting is his passion for business as well as e-commerce. We started our collaboration a couple of years ago when he was creating his first course, and in the matter of these few years, he has been able to help hundreds of people in his local market. So I definitely think that this conversation would be super helpful for anyone listening and is interested in how to grow his e-commerce brand and his social media marketing brand. So let's get started.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Hari. I have few questions that I prepared for this conversation. I know that you are seen as a mentor by a lot of people, but who are some of your mentors in the business, in your life also?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I first start with some of my personal mentors. Throughout the years, I've always been exposed to entrepreneurship and business. When I was just 6-7 years old, I still vividly remember how I was helping in the car wash that my family was running. And that was the first time in which I sensed the enjoyment that making your own money gave you. And then with time in my teenage years, I realized that building one business was great, but it can get a little boring. So I actually dove headfirst into marketing in order to understand a tad bit more about how can I impact businesses all over the world and not only focus on my own. But this quickly led me to understand that when you're working even in your own business, but you're collaborating with other businesses, the partnership relationships are completely different. It's not your own business. It's not your own dream. It's the dream of somebody else. So in the past 14 months, I've been working super hard on my personal dreams, which have been to impact people by sharing my knowledge, my experience about social media marketing. And I've been able to accumulate more than 150,000 people following me across Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. So for me, my first mentors have been my parents, which sparked the joy of entrepreneurship in me. And then later with time, I found out that having mentors is great, but I prefer having heroes. So I have a lot of heroes who definitely don't know I exist. For example, Elon Musk and his way of thinking innovatively about his product, Steve Jobs and his way of presenting products. So I do have dozens of heroes who I aspire to be like based on specific characteristics that they have. And then from that point onwards, for me, it's all about accumulating knowledge. So understanding the foundations of any industry, either e-commerce or social media marketing, and then building your own experience as soon as possible. Because at the end of the day, reading books is fine, but what's better is when you implement those books. So for me, my mentors and heroes have been my parents, which exposed me to entrepreneurship, my heroes who I admire and I would love to meet one someday, and then lastly, my experiences, which I've been able to understand, be mindful of, and then utilize in the future.
Thank you very much about answer about that. I'm very curious, actually, what was the journey from when you first started dabbling in the digital marketing to where we are now? How did you develop the interest, skills, authority?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I first started off without any experience, any clients. That was probably in the beginning of 2013. So I first gained as much knowledge as fast as possible. So YouTube, Googling, and reading articles. Of course, back then and right now as well, there's a lot of bullshit on the topic. So yes, I was reading, for example, methodologies such as you need to follow the top accounts in Instagram, and then because you're following these accounts, you're appearing on top of their follower list, and other people, when they follow that specific account, they can see you and they can choose to follow you as well. So I was following Cristiano Ronaldo, Ariana Grande, so these top accounts, I was following them and I was hoping that someone follows me back, which was total bullshit. And the saddest thing is that there are still people doing these methodologies, follow and follow methodologies, right now as well in 2021. So from 2013 to 2021, nothing has changed in terms of the quality of methodologies that people are utilizing to grow. So I was reading a lot, and then I was experimenting a lot as well with these methodologies in order to see what's bullshit and what's real. And I did that for a couple of years. Then later I began working with some local companies, including UV10. And then from that point onwards, it was a journey head up. I was experimenting more, gaining more knowledge. And then from that point onwards, at one point, I said, enough is enough. I can actually share this knowledge, these years of experience, this testing, and try to help people. And that's how my social media journey began close to 15 months ago.
Actually, the day that I see that you have a new book, this was around a month ago, I buy it. And actually, I learned a lot about the Instagram. I was surprised because all the time I follow you, I see your posts, yeah. I see everything. But in the book, I see some secrets, some very interesting information that I didn't find any other place about the Instagram marketing.
Yeah.
And I want to say that I'm very surprised from your knowledge. And you have 150,000 followers over that. Do you ever use paid traffic in your Instagram?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first, I'd like to address the book. Yep, I've been sharing knowledge constantly for more than 400 days consecutively on Instagram, but there are certain limitations, which, because this is a book, I can walk over. So for example, even though that I can create carousels on my Instagram profile and they are 10 slides long, if I want to dive really deeply in a given topic, give examples, go step by step, I'm still limited by these 10 slides. So the book has enabled me to craft a structure which makes sense if you're starting from zero or if you have already some established presence and target my audience better and then create structure on top of that. So it's easier to consume. So I definitely believe that in terms of the book, there are a lot of knowledge pieces which I just cannot share on Instagram. And another thing which goes back to the bullshit that I mentioned in 2013 and the bullshit that is out here in 2021, this is actually one of the main reasons why I decided to create that book. Because a lot of people think that they understand marketing, they're positioned as marketing expert, and then they believe in myths such as you shouldn't use 30 hashtags in your post, which again is total bullshit. So you need to understand how to filter information from what's true to what's not true. And that's what I have tried to do in my ebook, sharing only verified information, either by Instagram or my years of experience. So this is something which I wanted to quickly mention about the book. Now, in terms of paid traffic, I do not personally utilize any paid traffic, but that doesn't mean that paid traffic is wrong. If you're going to be utilizing paid traffic, if you're watching this video and you want to scale your business, then go for paid traffic. That's phenomenal. But you have to make sure you have a really strong organic foundation as well. Because the eyes that your audience will have for you if you're utilizing paid traffic and if you're utilizing organic traffic would be completely different. So someone who is seeing your ad for the first time, he doesn't know who you are. He's seeing you as an intruder in his newsfeed. While someone who has built a connection with you completely organically, it has been his own choice to follow you, sees you with completely different eyes. So you have to make sure that if you're going to be utilizing paid ads, you're utilizing it at the stage of your business in which you want to scale.
Okay, thank you very much about your detailed information. We receive all the time useless information.
Yeah.
And it's very important to find the right source to study from that.
That's
okay,
true.
I have a few more questions for you.
Of course, go ahead.
What do you think is the hindrance keeping most people away from reaching their dreams in digital marketing?
Yeah, so the main issue that people face when they're trying to start and build their digital presence, not only their social media presence, isn't that they don't have the technical skills. Technical skills can be outsourced. But the number one issue that business people are facing is that they lack the right mentality. They think that social media is some magical place in which you dive headfirst and then you get the results as soon as possible and you crush it. This is especially true for businesses which have been successful. So for example, if you're crossing the offline space, you think that transitioning to online is super easy. You can do it at the snap of your fingers, and then you can magically start getting clients from your online presence as well, which simply isn't true. You have to have the right expectations when you're starting your social media presence, your whole digital presence. It takes time, especially if you haven't had any experience or you haven't built any audience beforehand. So you have to have the right mentality. I've seen dozens of businesses produce good content, have good products and services, but yet fail to build their social media presence. Not because they lacked in some technical skills, but they lacked in the right mentality. So for me, the most common issues that people are facing when it comes down to social media and digital marketing is that they're too eager to get results. They're not looking at the long term. They're looking at the short term. They don't want to think about where they are going to be in 300 days. They want to know how fast they can grow in 30 days. So for me, having the right expectations, being patient, and making sure that you're not desperate to build your social media presence is key. Because this leads me to another path, which is, when do you think most people start their social media presence? When they have their business sorted and they're doing phenomenal in their business? Or when their business is going downhill? What's your point on this?
Thanks about that question. Actually, very often, when I work with someone, you know that my main business is online sales.
Yeah.
And most of the people, they create eBay store, for an example. They create an eBay store. They start selling very well. And they start search a solution when eBay store is suspended or when they have some problems. They didn't think about how exactly to rise and how to be in the stable business before they have problems with their business. Actually, the short answer here is when the business stop working well, people start thinking that they need a solution about that.
Yeah, and that's what I've noticed as well. Most people start their social media presence either when they have no clients or when they lost their clients, which is the worst time to start your social media presence because you're desperate. You want to get new business. You want to get new clients. And that's completely normal. But that desperation can be sensed by your followers, by your potential business partners. And that is actually hindering you from building a successful social media presence because you're rushing. You want to get there fast. You want as many clients as possible, as soon as possible. And it doesn't work like that.
Most of the cases, you didn't have enough money and you didn't have enough skills to do something new and you didn't have a time for that.
Yeah. So
that's why, for example, my social media presence, I began it when I was doing really well because I was looking at the future. Because I presume that something might have happened to my business at some point or another. And obviously the global pandemic hit and many businesses were impacted. So that was good timing on my part. But again, you need to start when you already have a solid foundation. That's when you try to scale your social media presence. That's when you build an organic presence. And when you build an organic presence, you scale once again to building a paid presence. But don't do it when you're desperate. Do it when you're comfortable, because that way your whole mentality will be different. You will be more patient, and more patience results to something magnificent on social media.
Thank you about that answer, actually. Okay, I have two more questions for you. The first one is, if you had to start digital marketing today, this year, what steps would you take?
So, as with everything else, I am all about action and implementation. So I would craft a really short plan. So for example, let's say three days would be all about planning. And in those 3 days, I would think about who is my target audience? Where does he live in the social media landscape? And what type of content does he consume? So these three questions. Then when I have that information, I can actually start preparing some content pieces for that specific audience and for that specific platform. And the way which I would approach that is by studying and benchmarking what others are already doing and doing successfully. You don't have to find something innovative in order to start. You just have to start. And then with time, you will find what makes you unique. But in the beginning, just start. So after knowing who my audience is, where he lives in terms of social media platforms and what he consumes in terms of content, I would start as soon as possible. I wouldn't think about all the competitors out there. I wouldn't think about all the market situation out there, because the truth is social media won't become easier to grow. With time, social media will only become harder and harder to grow. And this is something which I was thinking with my YouTube presence, for example. There are already so many competitors telling the same thing on YouTube, such as me. Why should I start my social media, my YouTube presence? Well, the reality is that these competitors won't become less. There won't be a perfect time to start. The perfect time to start was 20 years ago, but the next perfect time is now. So I would start implementing as soon as possible. And then the key thing which I would implement is being mindful and analyzing my results. Every single post of mine which I make gives me some kind of information. Information about my audience, information about the topic of the post, information about the performance in this specific platform. Because some of my posts, I post both on LinkedIn and on Instagram. Some posts do phenomenal on LinkedIn and they do garbage on Instagram. So every single post is a data source. You have to analyze that. You have to do more of what works and less of what doesn't work. And this sounds simple, but as soon as you start implementing, you will realize how much work actually is put into this.
Thanks to this, actually, marketing and all the platforms change their algorithms very often. We have ability to start, to grow, and also to help to the people, because we can help only if we have knowledge. And you know, you start with from zero 14 months ago, and now you're with 150,000, as we already say, but you have a lot of experience for that 14 months. You really grow and you really have ability to help to others. Okay, if you have an option to change only one feature in Instagram, what would be this?
Yeah, the feature that I would change on Instagram is probably the feature to measure information. So for me, as a data nerd, information is super, super helpful. So if I have more information as a content creator on Instagram, well, obviously I can create better content. And because I create better content, my audience is more satisfied. And because my audience is more satisfied, the Instagram platform is making more money. So if I would change anything, it would be the amount of information I have access to as a creator. Because yes, right now I can go into my Instagram insights and I can look at things of, such as how many people I've reached, how many followers I gained. But honestly, that's quite shallow. That's quite surface level. So I would dive deeper into, okay, what specifically does my audience enjoy about this specific post? Was it the caption? How many people read the caption? Was it the image? How many people looked at the image? Something similar to what YouTube is doing with videos, but in Instagram would be phenomenal, because that way I can make better decisions as a content creator. I can create better content. That content can be consumed by more people. More people can share it to more, other people, and it would be basically the snowball effect. And this would help ultimately the platform. So for me, if I could add any feature or I would change any feature on Instagram, it would be the amount of information I get access to as a content creator. Because the way I look at social media is always through the win-win lens. So you have to make sure, if you want to grow on social media, your audience is winning, then you're winning. You have to also make sure that the platform you are on is winning. Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, doesn't matter. You have to make sure that the platform is winning first, and then the platform will help you win as well. So by thinking of platforms and audiences in the win-win ratio, you're able to really put to rest those selfish reasons for growth, such as making more money, getting more clients, and focus on what's important. And that way you can grow way more sustainably. So for me, I would change the amount of data I get access to as a creator, and then I would make sure to use that data in order to make sure the platform is winning and my audience is winning.
Okay, do you think that we will have less amount of data in our Instagram insights in future? Because I see that in Google Ads. Right now, Google collect a lot of information, but in future they plan and they already start to cut some of the information that they give to the others in Europe because of the GDPR, and worldwide because they say that this update is for security reason. What you think about the iOS updates? They was 14.5, and they actually affect the Facebook marketing already. Do you have same situation in Instagram?
Yeah, with Instagram, we do have certain limitations in terms of, for example, seeing who shared our post in Europe. Having said that, I do believe that keeping in mind that these limitations, GDPR and iOS 14, this is for everybody. This is not only for me, this is not only for you. So it would level out the market space. Having said that, I do believe that moving forwards as a social media and digital marketing driven economy, we have to always count on data. And data doesn't have to be personal, which was the issue with GDPR. I don't have to know you personally what post of mine you liked and what you didn't like. I have to have the bigger picture data. So in general, what my audience likes, what my audience doesn't like. And this, I don't believe Instagram can take away from a creator.
Thank you about that answer. As we already say, every next day is more hard than today. Then maybe after or after 3 years, it will be less data again. And we will have less opportunity to start. Then the perfect moment is...
Yeah, it's now.
Thank you very much about this interview. I think that this was very interesting and very useful for my auditory.
Really glad to hear that. Really glad to hear that. And for anyone listening from the Brave Marketing community, thank you so much for listening to the end.
Bye for now.